Today in the Near Workings podcast, I'm joined by Anne Carden, who is a strategic business growth and marketing and sales consultant. Now, you could say, well, there are many, many of those in the world, but I know for a fact that Anne is not your typical consultant. And the reason being, and the reason why we're going to be talking about starting your own business on this particular episode, is that Anne has done just that, not once, not twice, but seven times. So welcome to the podcast, Anne.
Thank you so much, Neil. It is a pleasure to be here with you, talking about my favorite topic, business.
Yes, and you've done this a number of times. I was going to start by actually asking you the question, is this something that is in your DNA, or did you learn this?
It is in my DNA. My very first business, I was about 8 years old when I started. I sold craft classes to the neighborhood kids in my basement and charged them. I don't remember if it was a quarter or, you know, a dime or whatever it was, but it was really funny. That actually came out on a podcast one day. I hadn't really thought about that, but all through my childhood growing up, I found ways to make money. I knew I wanted money for different things. And so I was always very creative in the ways that I found to make money. And I did go the corporate route out of college and school and was in that for 13 years, but I was in business management. So business has definitely been in my blood.
Interesting. Do you feel it can be learned, this whole kind of entrepreneurship style of being in business rather than being an employee? Can it be learned?
Oh, 100%. In fact, most people go into business not really understanding business. And it's actually, and really, I did that. With, I believe a true entrepreneur, it is, like you said, it's sort of in their DNA. It's a fire kind of in their belly. Even if they're working for someone, they just have this really deep desire to do things for themselves, the opportunity, the possibilities. And it's almost like they can't not do it, if that makes any sense. I think if you have to sort of talk yourself into it and you're like, oh, I want to do it because other people are doing it. And oh, it looks like a great way to make money. It's probably not going to be the best thing for you to do. I would say jump into like a network marketing company or something where you can see if it's what you want to do, to see if you know how to build, which is also a great foundation for people to learn marketing and sales skills, and but really kind of see if they need to be in their own business. So if you're not sure, do something like that where the risk is so minimal, versus just quitting your job and jumping into entrepreneurship. So I don't want to discourage anyone, but the statistics for failed businesses is about 87% for small businesses. That's really high. And I think a lot of people get into business thinking it's going to be easy. I work with a lot of coaches and consultants, and they think this, they go get a coaching certification or, you know, they take some sort of a course and they think, okay, great, I want to coach people, but they don't realize it's a business. You're building a business. It's not just coaching. And so if you're not prepared to do that, you're going to end up with something that is probably not going to do very well, or you'll burn out trying because it kind of goes against your nature. So I don't know if that's what people want to hear, but I am just a believer that if you're going to get into business, know what it is going to take. It's a commitment.
Yeah. And I think that's really pragmatic advice, because I think a lot of us can kind of get swept along by, you know, the opportunity in the moment, or at least the perceived opportunity. And we've got AI. So, oh, I can go and set up an AI agency, or, oh, there's a whole kind of sustainability and carbon thing going on. Oh, I'll go and set up a consultancy for that, without actually necessarily really thinking through, as you say, the business element of it, because there's some real simple kind of elements within this, aren't there? You might have the skill set, you might have the charisma to kind of attract clients, but if you haven't actually got that business savvy element as well, which is actually, you're going to have to make more money than you spend here to be able to pay yourself, you know, that's just that real basic.
That can be learned. This financial side of it can be learned, yeah.
And of course, then you learn it very quickly, because if you get it wrong, you're going to be out of business. So, yeah, kind of where would somebody, if they have those technical skills, where do they kind of start to sort of begin to explore the opportunity there? Because it is different to joining a well-established organization, isn't it?
Yes, it is completely different. You know, a lot of people would say, oh, just quit and go all in, quit and go all in. I actually don't think that's the right approach if someone's just not sure about being an entrepreneur. Again, this kind of goes back to, is the desire, is it a fire that you've just got to take action and do? And that's going to show the commitment that's there. But if you're kind of on the fence and, oh, I think I would like to do this, and is this the right thing? Then I would suggest dipping your toe in the water. Go, for example, go get some clients with what it is you're trying to sell. Reach out to your market. Look at, see where the opportunity is. If you can't go get a few clients or make some sales to people besides family and friends, then you know, because you are going to have to at some point have people that don't know you that will want to buy from you. So if you can't do that when you're trying to get started, I would never suggest leaving a job and going all in on that. So start slow and you have to figure out what you're going to sell. You have to make sure that it's going to be viable for the market. What does that look like? And then go and try to sell that, and try it more than one or two people. Go and actually make some sales. Find a way to work it into your schedule. This is another thing a lot of people say, well, you know, I work full time and I'm a dad, I'm a mom, I have all these other activities. Well, then if you can't find the time to be an entrepreneur, it's not going to happen. It's not going to magically, because you decide that you're going to start up a business. So if you can't find solutions and ways to work around things to make things work, it's not the right thing for you, because entrepreneurs are problem solvers. Entrepreneurs are resilient. Entrepreneurs will find a way no matter what. They will find who can help them. They will find how to get what they want or how to make things happen. And they can work through the ups and downs. And that is a true entrepreneur. And some of that you do build. I always say, you know, overcoming fear, taking big risks. Some of those things are like a muscle that the more you do it, the easier, the more you realize this is part of the process. But just jumping all the way in and starting something and cutting off your income, it's not something I recommend to people. Also, it's going to take money. It will take money somewhere along the way. Business is not free. I've built 7 of them. Not one of them has been free. It looks easy because you can fire up your laptop in today's marketplace and you can start something. So it looks like it's not a big deal, but you will have to have tools. You will have to have things that you will need to run that business. And so you will have investing somewhere along the way.
Just a couple of points that I just want to really pick up on and sort of get your advice on, really. The first one was this idea of beyond family and friends, because I think that's a really interesting one. I think, you know, a lot of us feel like, oh, we've built a business because I've got uncle here doing, you know, he's one of my clients. I've got the aunt over here and she's another one. And that's not a business, is it? That is just serving your family. And yet it's kind of quite a distraction, isn't it? I mean, if we call it tier two, let's say, so tier one is people you already know, your family and friends. Mm-hmm. The tier two is a huge jump, isn't it? It's probably a bigger jump than most people think. How do you kind of recommend people do that if they are still working or they are still employed? Because there is a time factor here to kind of, I don't know, is it going to networking events? Is it picking up the phone? Is it running email campaigns? How do you get that tier two whilst you're still probably piloting your new business?
It really comes down to how you want to build your business. So if you want to build your business, when I started, for example, when I started my coaching business, I was already networking, speaking, doing things for my other businesses that I owned. So I actually stepped into coaching. So this is a good example of what I'm talking about. I didn't just sell all my businesses and jump into coaching. I actually had still two businesses that I was running, and they funded me jumping into coaching. And you know, I had employees running those businesses, so they didn't require a lot of me. That's the best way to build a business, is it doesn't require a lot of you. And so I had worked with a business coach, and it was such a game changer for me. I thought, oh my gosh, this is my next thing. Like, I want to help other people with everything I've learned about business and everything I'm still learning about business. And I started coaching by just approaching some of the business owners that I knew. And a couple of them, some of them had become friends through networking. We were all, you know, we were all business owners. And I said, I'm thinking about going into business coaching, but I want to see if the skills and everything that I know how to do will apply to other people, and can I do this? And so I had people that said yes. They didn't pay me a ton of money at that point. I just wanted to see if I knew how to do it and if what I thought I knew would be relevant. And so my first couple of clients came like that. And then once I saw, oh my gosh, I do know what I'm doing here, then I went out and got more clients. And then it became it got to the point where this was so my new thing that I knew I did not even want to be in those other businesses anymore. It's time to sell. I'm not passionate about that anymore. I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to pull in on coaching. And so that was my transition into what I'm doing now. But and it would be the same if you had a job. So that funded, that business funded really me going into the coaching space, and it gave me the money that I needed for different things and to learn the coaching side of things. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of ways you can do it, but that was one way to do it.
I want to come sort of onto more detail about the coaching business, because again, I think for a lot of people that is a natural progression to go into something like that. But just for a moment, just when somebody's, again, if they're thinking about doing it right now and they're kind of toying with this, they're listening to this and thinking, okay, give me more reasons why I shouldn't do it, is an interesting one, which is that the whole thing about, are you building the business around you as an individual? So you're almost the brand here when you take those first initial steps, before you necessarily then create a company name, and before then the company is bigger than you. Because I'm not talking further down the stream when, you know, sort of Ann Carden becomes company XYZ. This is when Ann Carden is Ann Carden doing those initial kind of networking meetings and talking to people. Is it you then that's the brand versus that transition into maybe a company name where you have employees? Is it best to start with the individual and build that personal brand?
Well, you have to do that to some degree, whether you're building a company brand or you're building a personal brand. People do business with people. So your first several clients are going to come from you being out there or talking to people, putting yourself out there, trying to get clients. But I love that you actually asked this, because I get asked this a lot when people are thinking about going into coaching or consulting. And here's what I tell them. Think about your big vision and where you want this business to go. If you really want it to be more boutique and you don't think that you will want to have coaches under you, other people working under you, maybe you'll have a small team to do things for you, but you still want to be the main driver and you want to coach, you want to still coach, then think about that, because then yes, you can build it under your own name and you can build that up. If you think that at some point you might want to sell it or bring other people under you to coach or consult, then you want to think about building a company. So knowing what that end vision is, it will help you make the right decisions. And it will also help you, it will help you do things in the right way as you're growing your business. A good example of this is when I first came into the coaching space, and I was working with business owners that were local, and I was getting a lot of them also through speaking and running workshops. And so a lot of offline stuff. But I quickly realized I was running around to all these business owners' businesses to meet with them, because I didn't have an office. I was still running two businesses. And I quickly realized I didn't love that model. I felt like I had just built another brick and mortar business that I had to sort of be around for, right? And so for me, that was when I said, I am going to start working virtually. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to do other things. I don't want to be traveling to clients' businesses. There's almost nothing that I can't do with them that I can't do online. So I made that transition and made that decision. And then if a small business owner was not willing to work with me virtually, which was such a good use of their time, and it was leveraging their time. It was a good use of my time. And so if they weren't willing to do that, then they didn't become a client. And so I set those boundaries and I said, this is the way I'm going to build my business. And I've been doing it that way ever since. But again, if I would have known that was a thing I could have done, I probably would have started there, but I didn't. I was coming in kind of in the early stages of, you know, the internet. I mean, so it's important to know what you want and how you want to build that business and where you're going. So hope that answered your question.
It does. Yeah, very much so. And I think it kind of, for me, it just leads on to so many other questions as well. I mean, one is that I guess what we're looking at here, I guess, is not a product kind of business. We're not looking at a bricks and mortar style business. We're looking at a very much a people engagement business here. So if we're looking at, say, coaching or consultancy, or as a mix of both possibly and potentially, then kind of what we're starting to create here are these kind of relationships that you can then leverage your time for, so that, you know, you're very cost effectively using your own time, but with a very, very clear brief to yourself about what you're willing to do, but also what you're not willing to do. That's interesting, because then it feels that even though you're serving a customer or a client, you're kind of doing it as an equal kind of partnership. So you're not subservient to them in the relationship. It feels like it's kind of meeting on a professional level that's very balanced. Is that what you're advocating here?
Yes, definitely. When you're first starting or you're building, yes, that is. I still coach my clients. I do not want to give that up. I love that. I have coached in all of my businesses. I've always, except for my first one, I've always done some capacity of coaching and training and all of that, even with my employees. So that is something that I'm really good at. And I love it. I love that connection, that human to human connection. So I have found other ways to build out my business where I still get to coach. So I have a team that they'll do my, you know, they do all my podcast stuff for me, my work, they book me, I don't do any of that. I get to show up and do the stuff that I love and that I'm the best at. I get to show up and coach my clients. I speak on stages. I'm building my brand, but I also have income streams coming in multiple ways. So this is one of the scale strategies that I teach people. If they want to stay boutique, they want to still coach their clients, they are service their clients, you still have to find ways to build the business and keep growing. And you should, because business can build wealth, and we can talk about that. But I have multiple income streams, and I did this even when I was working with small business owners before I started working with coaches and consultants. I would look and say, what else do these small business owners need? Well, they probably need a website, and they need systems in their business, and they need, you know, different things. And I would build out partnerships with people that I trusted, who could deliver those things to my clients. So now they became a resource, and I would get a part of the revenue. And so I've done that also in my coaching business. So for example, we do, I have a package that is called Expert Influencer Package, and we get people featured on a magazine cover, get in an article, get a podcast launched, get their book done, get a bunch of social media reels and things out there. So it's like, it's kind of like a done for you, but it has a component of, obviously, they have to show up and do their podcast. But that is a package that I don't do any of the work except the coaching. I have partners that will do all of that stuff for my clients. And so that is an income stream that I have, but it's a natural fit for the people that I'm working with because they'll need those things at some point. Or a VA service or a system where I can have an affiliate partnership with a particular system. So if you do want to stay solo, there's a lot of ways you can scale. You can also go to a one-to-many model, which I also have, where you're working with multiple people at a time in a group. So there's a lot of ways to scale. So it is important to know what you want, how you want to build that business, but then also be innovative in ways that you are growing your business that don't require more of your time.
Because it feels like time is this key component with everything that you talked about there, is that, you know, the one thing, yes, you can create the revenue, you can, you know, get the people around you, the technology stacks you can build to help you kind of scale this thing. But ultimately, it's still about your time, isn't it? Which is a finite resource, probably the most precious thing any of us have got, because that's non-negotiable. Everything else is choice, but that isn't. So how do you kind of protect your time? As a consultant, as a coach, how do you kind of keep that as the most important asset that you have?
That is such a great question. I, again, have implemented ways to make money into my business that don't require me. I set boundaries. I have a one-to-many model, and then I work with clients at a premium level. So I don't take on a lot of one-to-one clients. This is also a model I teach. I teach people how to build in the premium part of the market. So here's a good example, Neil. If you want to build a $1 million coaching business and you are bringing in $50,000 clients, you only need 20 of them to build a $1 million business. That's a very different model than needing 10,000 people. And so I teach a high-end model and not a volume model, which is what a lot of people are out there doing and teaching people. And so it's leveraging your time and you're getting paid premium fees to do that. So that is, when I moved into that model, it made such a difference in my business. In the growth of my business. And also, I found that I loved the clients I was working with at that level. There was a big difference in the clients. And it wasn't a hustle and grind, because I don't need 100 clients to have the business that I have. So that's one way that I teach people how to really minimize the amount of time. I mean, truthfully, there are lots of weeks I work part-time. And there are, you know, we'll take the last week of every month off. I will take Fridays off most of the time, unless there's something in particular that I'm really ramping up in my business or I want to put a lot of time into. That's really my business model. So I love to teach people how to work part-time and have a $500,000, $1 million business.
There's a real efficiency thing going here, isn't there? That, you know, it's optimizing your time. It's having those choices about the kind of client, as you say, high end, or clearly if you're going to spend your time on something, you might as well spend your time on something that rewards you. But at the same time, I guess balancing that as well with the promotional stuff, because you mentioned earlier about, you know, talking on podcasts, running your own podcast, talking on stage, you know, networking events. How do you kind of juggle or spend or invest the time for that versus the actual servicing of a client? Because some weeks it might feel that, you know, you're spending almost too much time there. But if you spend too much time with the client and then you don't generate new clients, the old ones kind of naturally churn away and then you haven't got any left. So there is this kind of sweet spot, I guess, where you find this ultimate balance. How do you go about that?
Yes. Yeah, so you have to find everything you're doing in your marketing needs to become a system. And this is where a lot of people, they don't get this and they don't do this. For example, you're building your brand. I know that I do a live stream at least once a week. That is planned into my schedule. And so that live stream goes out against, and I leverage my time in everything that I do. So that live stream goes out across multiple channels. And then that live stream also gets repurposed to a podcast, a solo podcast. That live stream also gets turned into an article. So all of my content gets repurposed. It gets cut up into shorts. And so that's one way. So when I am doing something like that, not only am I attracting people and getting people to reach out to me, book on my calendar, show up, be visible. I'm also building content and I'm leveraging my time to do that. So that's one thing. I love showing up, speaking. This is like my thing. So for me, this is what works. When I am guesting on podcasts, my assistant knows how many podcasts I want to be on a month, and that's planned into my schedule. When I am putting people on my podcasts, my assistant knows how many people to book for me on for those calls and how many podcasts I want to do a month with people. And so all of that, it becomes a system. And so that's what they're working on and that's what they're doing. So if you run your business this way, and I didn't do all these things at one time. And so I just want to make that really clear. You layer on marketing strategies as you get something working and it's working like a well-oiled machine. Now you can add on something else. Part of the reason why people are overwhelmed and exhausted in their marketing is they just don't put a strategy and a system in place. They're trying to do too many things for too many people in too many places, and they just don't have a clear-cut strategy. So for example, Neil, if you wanted to build your business on LinkedIn, I could teach you how to do that in about 3 hours a week of your time. So when you think like that, and then once you get all that working, okay, now what other marketing strategy do you want to add on that you want to invest the time into? Would that be creating a podcast? Would that be guesting on podcasts? And so people try to do too much at one time, but a lot of their marketing doesn't even get traction. It's like throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. No, I say get one thing working well, then add on, layer on, ramp it up, hire your team, whatever that is, until you have multiple ways that people are coming to you.
And this kind of feels like it's proper planning. I mean, if I think back of all the marketing textbooks that, you know, I've ever... Yeah, yes. This is like really back to the roots of kind of good business strategy, but just good, sensible business planning and not getting kind of too carried away by the excitement of, hey, I run my own business, or hey, I'm a coach. And I think we see a lot of people, you know, sort of in that kind of flurry of kind of noise and kind of chaos. This feels like it's just really sensible, sound business practice. I mean, does it feel like that? You kind of know when you're doing it right, when the system just kind of works. And as you say, you're layering the stuff that works on and scaling that out, but stripping back and away the stuff that doesn't work. It's very process, this, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. And this, again, this is a missing piece for a lot of people because they don't get one thing working well. And so decide, you know, here's the simplicity of a fundamental business. When you start your business, what are you going to sell? Does the market want that? Is there a need for that? Is there a demand for that? That's super simple, right? And then how many people do you need to bring in to make the goals that you... So set a goal, set a vision. What does that look like? What do you need to make? You know, when you understand the fundamentals of business, it makes it, it's simpler. And then you have to know how to go get clients. Okay, is that going to be online or offline? Because they're very different. And you can merge those two worlds. I teach people a hybrid model. I love, though, next level marketing strategies. And that is where you're leveraging your time. I'm here with you, Neil, and this is going to go out to all your audience, right? It's going to be seen by multiple people. I'll be able to share this with my audience. So I am leveraging this hour that we are together. And a lot of people have the opportunity to see this. So think about things like that. Next level, don't just going out and looking for one client at a time. That's a grind. So think about how can I show up? We've got those opportunities today. How can I show up and more people find out about me and know about me? So once you determine what you're going to sell, yes, it's a viable product. Here's what I'm going to charge for it. Here are the people that would want it. Now, how can you go and get in front of them for them to know about you? Because you have to get attention. And if they don't know about you, they can't buy from you. And so then that becomes the first step in marketing is, how can you get visible with the right message, the right people that can help you get to your goals? And then once you do that, where are they? And then what is going to be the system that you're going to use to to get to them. So is that going to be a podcast? Is that going to be speaking on stages? All of those can be systems. So how many stages do you need to be on? If you get a client every time you speak, then how many clients do you want to get a month? Then how many stages do you need to be on? And so, look, business is numbers. I mean, people don't like to think of it that way, but it's really math. How many leads do you need? How many sales do you need to close out of those leads? And so those are just all the fundamental pieces. And then from there, you can build your team. And, you know, there's a lot more to it. But if you don't get the fundamental pieces right in business, it's also why a lot of people fail.
So if I'm listening to this or watching this and I'm thinking, okay, and speaking a lot of sense here, I understand it, I can do the math, I can sort of see the systems, I can understand it, I can probably, you know, get more support from Anne because, you know, she'll be there to coach me and help me, and I've got the budget to be able to pay Anne. How do I know that I've got the right skill set to make this work? If this is a coaching or a consulting business, is there a kind of an optimum length of time that I would need to have had time in business to kind of almost do my apprenticeship or kind of learn the ropes, as it were? Or it, can anybody kind of just learn the delivery of this stuff? Is there a sort of a minimum requirement for the product, as it were?
This is such a great question, Neil, because this is the confusion of a lot of people. And here's what I say. What I do and what I wrote my book about is about building a coach. If you're going to specifically build a coaching or consulting business, but this could be anything that you're going to sell. Take what you're already good at. Take what you're already brilliant at doing. Maybe that was a corporate position where you in technology, or you were brilliant at something, you build your business around that. If you were great at sales, build your business around how to help sales teams or help people in sales. Too many people try to go out and look for something to build a business around instead of taking what is already what they're already so good at. All of that experience, I like to call it career collateral, all of that experience and knowledge and skills and everything they've developed, and build a business around that, because then nobody will have to help you with confidence. You will already know, I know what I'm doing here. I know, and this is how I can take people that are a startup coach or consultant, and I can help them actually get paid really high premium fees. Sorry about that. Let me start that back over. This is how I can take people that are just starting a coaching or consulting business and help them get really high premium fees because they already know what they're doing. So who would want that? And then let's package you to go and market you to go get in front of them, tell them what you're capable of doing, and close the sale. It literally can be that easy. And a lot of times when people are coming from a job, especially in the coaching and consulting space, or even if you want to become a marketer or whatever that is, a lot of times where you left can become your first client and you'll get paid more. So I have helped people go back to the company they left, pitch a deal, and actually get paid more than they were making as an employee. And now they're just working a lot less. So there's a lot of ways to do this, but if you take what you're already so great at doing, instead of trying to go out and learn something new or thinking you need a certification, that's where people start falling short. Just, you know, it just is a longer road. So the answer to your question is, if you're doing something that you're already good at, it's short. If you're not, if you have to go back to school to learn something, it's a long road. It's a long path. It might be 2 or 3 years.
I'm just getting a sense here, Anne, that whatever kind of question I throw at you, that there's a really positive, kind of pragmatic, sensible kind of commercial answer here. There's so much to kind of uncover in this subject, isn't there? I mean, you know, way too much for, you know, a simple short kind of podcast episode. So I want to give people kind of access to all the other resources and support and services that you have, because if they're looking to become what it is you're evangelizing here, I want to kind of direct them in your way, because I know they're going to be very, very well supported and, you know, in good, safe hands. So what are the kind of routes to getting in contact with Anne?
Oh my gosh, there are so many ways you can reach out to me, but I have you can go if you're interested in coaching or consulting and you want to learn how to build that business, you can go to my website. I've got free resources on there. You can go, I have a YouTube channel that's very robust. You can get all kinds of learning and training and things on there. You can also book a call with me. So we can put links in the show notes if you want to, Neil, but there are so many ways people can reach out to me. And if you Google me, you'll see a lot of ways. You can follow my podcast. So no shortage of ways to find me. By the way, I practice what I preach. I help people also get very visible and be seen so that they can tell people, just Google me. You'll find multiple ways.
And that is the key, isn't it? You kind of know when the time's right, when you can just say, just Google me, and you know that you're going to dominate those results. And yeah, it is something I think for all of us to really aspire to. And it's been, yeah, just really, really energizing, I guess, as an opportunity. And even if people listening or watching this think, okay, I'm really up for this, but not quite yet because of whatever might be personal reasons that mean the timing isn't quite right, I would say connect with Anne, watch Anne, follow Anne's content, you know, listen to Anne's podcast, because there will come a point if this is kind of getting to you and you're thinking, I know this is me, I feel the calling, at some point the time will be right. So just watch Anne's work and listen to Anne. There's a lot of really great advice. And it was just those little short clips that Anne produces, the way you just think, okay, yeah, that's a trigger. That's a moment. I know the time is right. And this has been a really, really great conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And thank you so much for your wisdom and kind of guidance and advice today.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. And I just want to kind of allude to what you, or kind of make a comment to what you said. The timing's never really right. You just have to make a decision. And that's really what it takes. And that's the part that people are afraid to do. So make a decision, jump in, and you can make things happen. But if you wait for the perfect time, years can go by and it may never happen.
So as Nike would say, just do it.
Just do it. That's right. If you feel that fire and that calling, just do it, because it can change your life. Business can change your life. It can change other people's lives. You can build wealth. You can build a future. Most jobs can't offer you that.
And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.